Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to all of you again who are joining us in person, and of course to those of you who are watching online with us today. We're so glad that you were able to join us today, and we pray the Lord just blesses you through the preaching of His Word. If you don't know who I am, my name is Matt, and I'm the lead pastor here, and I just get the privilege of being able to open up the scriptures for us each and every week. So why don't you go ahead and grab your Bibles? If you don't have a Bible with you, we have one for you underneath your seats. You're welcome to use those today and take those home with you. If you don't have a Bible at home, we love to give those away. But let's open up in our Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. That's page 1,000. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. John chapter 16, page 1,000. Over the last few weeks, we've been going through a teaching series, which we've been calling Be Filled, Encountering the Holy Spirit. And I felt compelled to take a few weeks to talk about the Holy Spirit, because in many churches, he's either largely misunderstood and or largely ignored. And so we began with discussing who the Holy Spirit is, that he is God. He is a person. He is our helper, and that the Holy Spirit is God with and in us. In week two, we talked about the Spirit's role in giving us new life. He opens our spiritual eyes to see Christ, and then makes us more like him. And then just last week, we talked about how the Spirit leads us through prayer. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is discovered when we pray. And of course, that led us into our week of prayer for all the saints, just as the Apostle Paul instructed us to do. And that was it was a wonderful week, by the way. Amen? Amen? We've learned so much about the Holy Spirit already, and we still have so much to learn. Something that you may not know about the Holy Spirit is that he sometimes goes by other names. This is the case in both the Old and the New Testament. And two of the names which we have, which are attributed to the Holy Spirit, are Spirit of Truth and Spirit of Wisdom. Spirit of Truth and Spirit of Wisdom. Both of these essential elements come from the same source, God the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, that's because it's the Holy Spirit himself who is true and wise, but he also shares the truth and the wisdom with us. And I would just add, he does it in that order. He does it in that order. We cannot be wise until we have a clear understanding of what is true. And so the Holy Spirit gives us the truth that we need in order to be wise. Jesus says it this way in John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. Would you look with me? It'll be on the screens as well. Jesus says, he's talking to the disciples. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, Jesus says, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he, the Holy Spirit, will take what is mine, and he will declare it to you. It's Jesus' final night before he will hang on a cross and die for the sins of humanity. And he's minutes away from being arrested. And he's already explained to his disciples what is going to happen to him very soon. And so, as you would expect, Jesus' followers who are hearing this conversation are very emotional and discouraged. So Jesus just starts to wrap up the conversation. He says, I still have many other things that need to be said, but you can't take them right now. So here's what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit will tell you later. The Holy Spirit will finish this conversation. He is the Spirit of truth, Jesus says. And he's going to guide you into all the truth that you need. This is not the first time Jesus has said something like this, not even in this conversation. In John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus says, "The Spirit will, quote, teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." In John chapter 15, verses 26 to 27, Jesus says that the Spirit will, quote, "bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." But I want you to notice something very specific here that Jesus says about the Holy Spirit's revealing of the truth. Jesus says that the Spirit does not speak of his own authority or of himself, your translation might say. Now, of course, we know that the Spirit tells us a lot about himself, which means that that can't be what Jesus is saying here. What Jesus is saying is that what the Spirit tells us is not something new or original to the Spirit. He speaks what he hears from Jesus in order to glorify Jesus. The Spirit loves to point us to Jesus. But even what Jesus speaks to the Spirit does not start with Jesus. Instead, what we see in verse 15, you can look there and follow with me, is that the Spirit's sharing of truth is sort of like a divine echo. It's kind of like that game Telephone that you might have played when you were in school, where you say something, you pass it to the next person, you pass it to the next person. So it's like this holy version of Telephone. And what we see in verse 15 is this, that the Father shares all things with Jesus. And then Jesus shares all things with the Spirit. And then the Spirit shares all things with you. Now here's the caveat in all of this. Certainly the Spirit does guide us in truth. And he gives us the appropriate knowledge and discernment that we need and makes us wise. But I just want to encourage you to zoom out from the personal and the individual application here and to consider the immediate context of this passage. That's how we should always study the Bible. Before we start applying it to ourselves, we should look to see what did it mean for the original audience. This text, which we just read in John 16, records an actual conversation that takes place between Jesus and a particular group of people, namely the apostles. They are the ones who have been with Jesus from the beginning. That means that when Jesus is saying, "the Spirit will guide you into all truth," there's actually a you he's talking to. So that, yes, the Spirit guides us in truth, but it's according to the truth that the Spirit first revealed to the apostles. So then it's almost better to say, the Spirit shares all things with the apostles, and the apostles share all things with us. The truths that the apostles share with us are the Spirit-inspired scriptures. I'm talking about the writings which are sitting in your lap right now, or scrolling across your device. I'm talking about what we now call the Bible. And just to be clear, the Holy Spirit still speaks and guides, but he speaks according to what he's already spoken. In other words, we don't have to shut out prophecy or words of knowledge or teaching. In fact, we shouldn't look to do that at all. We just need to be sure that whatever that we claim that the Spirit is speaking is put in submission to and tested against what he has already spoken. Does this make sense? For the remainder of our time today, I want to discuss the Holy Spirit's role in the church at large, both the early church and the church today, as it relates to the truth and the wisdom of Scripture. And we'll do that by looking at the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Would you turn with me there? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If somebody has a page number, holler it out. 1 Corinthians chapter. It's 10:54. We're going to start in verse 6. Paul writes, he says, "Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has planned for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in what? We impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But the spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Paul has just finished writing about the simplicity of the message that he delivered to the church at Corinth. He talks about Jesus Christ and him crucified. He recalls how he traded the fancy speech to instead have weakness. He traded wisdom to instead have fear and trembling. And Paul says that he intentionally preached a very simple message at the beginning so that their faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And just after saying that, Paul clarifies that they've not abandoned wisdom altogether. For those who are maturing in Christ, those who have come to find faith in the crucified and risen Savior, there is a message of wisdom which God the Spirit reveals through him and the other apostles. Paul says, among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. There's a contrast made here, which I think is very significant. A contrast between the wisdom of this age and the wisdom of God. Paul is very clear to say that he has no interest in giving us the wisdom of this age. Why? Because it isn't helpful. At least in not any lasting way. The wisdom of Paul's day was promoted by the leaders of Paul's day, and that was at best temporary. It all depended on which person or group of persons had the loudest voice in the culture. It depended on the situational context at the time. It depended on the philosophies and the ideals that were being promoted around Corinth. And this meant that the wisdom of the age could change from day to day. And not only that, but this contemporary wisdom was doomed to pass away along with all those who were promoting it. Paul likely would have made this distinction for two reasons. One, the wisdom of the age wasn't truly wise. Or two, any wisdom of the age which was only wise for the age. In other words, the wisdom of this life is only sufficient for this life. It wasn't going to help them in the next life. It isn't going to carry them into eternity. And that's why Paul refused to concern himself with that kind of wisdom. Instead, he opted for the wisdom of God. It's eternal wisdom from an eternal God, which brings eternal life. That's where all of Paul's power and authority would rest, the eternal wisdom. The wisdom which would not die because God would not die. Paul says that this wisdom is a secret and hidden wisdom which God decreed before the ages for our glory. Now, don't think secret and hidden as in the secret knowledge that was popularized way back in the day. This isn't Gnosticism or higher revelation or anything like that. In fact, I think it's important to note that it's not a secret anymore. People talk about the mystery all the time, but it's not a mystery. Paul says in verse 10 very plainly that these things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. But that said, Paul is mostly focused on getting the second part of this verse across. It's wisdom which God decreed before the ages. There's a wisdom of the age, and there's a wisdom that transcends the ages. The former might last for a lifetime, but the latter will carry us through to eternity. So let me just bring this distinction into our world. Just some questions to consider. Talking about the wisdom of this age versus the wisdom of God. Think about this. Are you more interested in knowing the right time to sell your assets or how to store up treasures in heaven? Do you know all the health benefits of essential oils, but not about training yourself in godliness? Are you more caught up on what Fox News says about the American people, or what God says about you? Which has influenced your thinking more, following Elon Musk on Twitter, or following Jesus? Brothers and sisters, there's a wisdom of this age, but it will only serve you for this age. And that's why Paul couldn't preach it to his generation and why I can't preach it to this generation. All of my authority, all of my preaching rests on the eternal truths which God decreed in eternity. I don't have any authority in this room other than to stand on God's word. You didn't come to hear what I think about anything this morning, I hope. I'm not really that smart anyway. It's the eternal truths which make all the difference in our lives. However, the eternal truths and eternal wisdom of God aren't just about instructions. The eternal truths were implemented in his eternal plan. And that's what Paul is talking about in verses 8 through 10. Jesus became to us the wisdom of God. That's 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. He was God in flesh and he stood face to face with the leaders of Paul's generation. But Paul says they didn't catch on. Pontius Pilate didn't see God staring him in the face on that Friday afternoon. The Jews didn't see God standing up there next to Barabbas when they were yelling out, "Crucify him." In fact, Paul says that if they did know and understand this, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. And I guess in that case, it's a good thing. Paul goes on to quote Isaiah 64 when he says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what God has planned for those who love him." Now, you probably heard this at a funeral about heaven, but that's not what Isaiah or Paul are talking about here. Paul is talking about the gospel. He's talking about the good news, the redemption of Jesus at just the right time. No one could have made sense of this. Apart from the prophets, not a single person saw this coming. It's unimaginable that God would put on flesh and join us in the dirt. It's unimaginable that God would become like us, put on human skin and bone, face human temptation, yet without sin, only to eventually lay his life down for his enemies and then raise to life again on the third day to give them hope for eternal life. Nobody saw that coming. Logic couldn't bring you to that conclusion. The culture wouldn't tell you that. Experience wouldn't cause you to expect that. Not even a rabbi could help you understand it. There's only one person who can make it make sense. And Paul writes in verse 10, which I read just a moment ago, these things God has revealed to us through who? The Spirit. So the Spirit testified to the apostles about the work of Jesus and all its implications. This is what Jesus meant in John 16 when he said, the Spirit will testify of me. And even more when Jesus said that the Spirit will guide you into all truth. And he's talking about all of those implications, the new reality that comes with Jesus. The Spirit taught the apostles these things himself. And that's just the way God would have it. The Spirit can teach the depths of God's wisdom because he searches and knows the wisdom of God. Not only that, but he also knows and comprehends the thoughts of God. He's the one who clarifies whatever it is that God wants to give to the apostles. And that's why Paul keeps saying we impart wisdom, not invent wisdom. In other words, they aren't creating anything. They're just passing the truths along as the Spirit gives it to them. How so? Verse 13. By giving us words. Words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The apostles take the truths which they are given and they put them in words. And these words are together, they form a library of scripture which you and I now call the Bible. But don't miss what Paul says here. First of all, they are words imparted to us, meaning they are not Paul's own words. And secondly, they are words not taught by human wisdom, meaning Paul didn't receive them from his contemporaries. No, these are words that Paul says are taught by the Spirit. You may have heard somewhere that there are roughly 40 authors of Scripture. I'm afraid there's been a misunderstanding. There might have been 40 men who wrote down the scripture, but there was only one author. God, the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that the scripture is able to make us wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus, but he goes on to tell us why. Because all scripture is God-breathed. That word, which translates God-breathed, is the same root word, ready for this, which translates Holy Spirit. As if to say, all scripture is Holy Spirited. Or to put it simply, all scripture originated with the Spirit of truth and wisdom. And the Spirit who wrote the scriptures gave us spiritual truths, which Paul says are good to teach us. And to call us out, to correct us, and to prepare us for all that God has called us to do. The Bible is not an ordinary book, ladies and gentlemen. We don't even have to get into the fact that we have 25,000 consistent manuscripts and even more biological and archaeological discoveries which prove its authority. I can just stand up here and say confidently that the Bible is unlike any other book because its author is the Holy Spirit of God himself, and it contains spiritual truths which help us beyond this life. This divine reality should change the way we read our Bibles. Listen, I hope you'll get this. If you don't get anything else today, reading your Bible is a profoundly spiritual practice. Reading your Bible is a profoundly spiritual practice. It's not something that requires only the intellect. It's not just something that you do because you're supposed to do it. It's not something that we should take for granted. When you are engaging with Scripture, You are engaging with the Holy Spirit. And the inverse is also true. When you're needing, when you're hungering for more of the Holy Spirit in your life, go spend more time in His Word. Go spend more time in His Word. The Scriptures are the revelation of God and His will, and they're given freely by the Spirit to us. And in that sense, it's a gift of love and grace to be received. The fact that we would be able to learn more about God and His salvation is something which we should be thankful to the Holy Spirit about. And how many of you know that the best way to show gratitude for a gift that someone gives to you is actually to put it to use? In the same way, we ought to utilize and read and study the Scriptures which the Spirit gave us as an act of honor and worship to Him. We have more access to Scripture than any other time or people group in history. We have more Bible-related material on our phones than Martin Luther could have ever dreamed. Read it and meditate on God's word until you understand them. Do your best to study it in the way that it should be studied so that you might apply it rightly. The first and primary way to read it properly is to approach the Scripture in a spiritual manner. Remember, Paul says these are spiritual truths for who? Spiritual people. And they are spiritually discerned, which means we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to pay attention to the voice of the Spirit. Furthermore, we should connect with the Spirit in prayer before we ever even come to the Scripture. Paul says that the rulers of the world will never understand the Word of God because they belong to the natural. They are obsessed with material things. They are obsessed with rhetoric and sex and culture. So many people today still try and understand the things of God when they are indulging in the things of the world. And so we cannot be that. We've got to be sure that we are one of what Paul calls those who are spiritual. To those people, and only to those people, the Scriptures provide a completely new perspective to life. D.L. Moody said that the Christian on his knees can see more than the philosopher on his tiptoes. In other words, when spiritual people behold spiritual truths, they become the wisest people in the world. And that's where Paul finishes in this passage. The spiritual person understands all things, even though no one can really understand him. We can make sense of a sinful world and sinners alike. We can discern when God is working behind the scenes of a particular situation. We know what it means to do good deeds that make a good impact. And that's because the Holy Spirit reveals the truths of Scripture and then enables us to respond to them. In short, the eternal Spirit takes eternal truths and gives us fresh understanding. That's this whole passage in one sentence. We have a new lens, a new vision through which we see life and the world, what Paul calls the mind of Christ. And that's because the Spirit is always reminding us of the person and finished work of Jesus, as well as His word in Scripture. For spiritual people, It's about more than knowing the truth. We desire to know the truth for how it makes us wise. We don't want to be smart or clever. Paul says knowledge puffs up. We don't want that. We want to be wise. We want to have proper insight and understanding, a spirit-animated perspective that causes us to glorify Jesus in the world. And I believe that we receive that when we meditate on what the Spirit has already spoken in God's Word given to us. So meet the Spirit in His Word this week. Stop letting the breath of God gather dust on your bookshelf. Open it up and meditate on the revelation of God, which was first given to the apostles and has been graciously delivered to us. I'll give you some practical steps just to end. When you go to read your Bible, always pray before and after you read. Always pray before and after you read. Before you even open up your scripture, just pray, Holy Spirit, I want to meet with you in this word. I don't want it to just be words on a page. I want to meet with you here in this scripture. Teach me. Show me, Lord. Show me, Holy Spirit, what it is you want me to learn from this. And then after you read, you come back into prayer and you say, Lord, thank you for your word this morning. I pray that God, you'll use it in some way in my day today. So pray before and after you read. And then another thing, and this is going to be controversial. Don't be pressed to read a different passage every day. We have this idea that we're supposed to read our Bible every day and that we're supposed to read 1 Corinthians 1 today, 1 Corinthians 2 tomorrow, 1 Corinthians 3 next day. It's better for you to understand what you're reading than for you to just read. And so take a week and read the same passage every day. Read the same passage every day. And if you don't understand it on Monday, pray, Holy Spirit, when I read this again tomorrow, I pray that you'd show me what you're saying. And if you don't understand it on Tuesday, do it again for Wednesday. And just every day for a week, read the same passage until you learn it, until it does something for you. And then the last thing is that you would just discern how the Spirit might be taking an old eternal truth, an ancient truth, and giving you new understanding out of it. Discern how the Spirit might be taking this old truth, because it's timeless, but taking this ancient truth and giving you fresh understanding in the world today. Now, just as a part of this Holy Spirit series, we've been ending, instead of me praying to end the message, we've been inviting you to pray. And so we're going to have a silent time of prayer, a few minutes, and I'm going to put a couple things on the screen. And this is mostly because I believe that the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer. We talked about this last week, that He speaks and He guides us and helps us. When we don't know what to pray, He shows us what to pray, the scripture says. He prays for us, intercedes on our behalf. And so you pray for whatever the Lord is burdening your heart on, or burdening your heart with right now. I'm going to put these two things on the screen. And I want to encourage you to seek the Lord and pray to Him concerning these things as well. And so here's the first thing. Do you sense the Spirit urging you, calling you back to His word? And then the second thing is, what situation or decision do you need the Spirit to bring His word into for you? And so I want to encourage you towards those things. In a minute, our worship team's going to head back up. John, you can go ahead and come back up here. We're just going to pray silently about those things. And then after a few minutes, John will ask us to stand back up. and we'll continue in worship.